Hi, welcome to the podcast. How are you, Andrew?
I'm pretty good. I'm actually really good. I got, I don't know if you saw my Instagram post yesterday, but I got these cables for my amp so I can route my iPad audio into the amplifier from my guitar and route the guitar audio and the iPad audio into my headphones. So I can play the guitar along with the song without destroying the relationship I have with my neighbors.
Well, that's important. That's very important.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, that is. Well, it's important to have a good relationship with your neighbors because you never know when you might have a fire or run out of flour, as they do in Desperate Housewives. Did we ever borrow anything from our neighbors when we lived together?
I don't think we ever met any of our neighbors.
Oh, no, I think we did, didn't we? We met the ones...
There was people downstairs.
Yeah.
I remember there was the person who's never picked up their mail.
Oh, yeah, who used to live at ours, where before we lived there.
No. It was like downstairs. It was like that mail that just always accrued and always built up and like through the glass door that was locked.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yep.
I've such like a vague, hazy memory of that. Almost like I've completely erased all memory of our flat out of my mind.
I remember the day that I helped you pack. Well, it was the evening, actually. I helped you pack your flat, your old flat, up before we moved in together. And you found those Lion King underwear. Do you remember those?
Yeah. So I had this, I don't know what it was. I think I was at my mum's for the weekend and she found a bunch of stuff from when I was little. And it was Lion King. So I was born in 1990. So like when I was growing up, the Lion King came out in like 1994. So like when I was in school, the Lion King was just like the biggest thing ever. So I had Lion King pants and she kept them for some reason. And I was like, oh, I'll take them. That's quite cute. but to a visitor, it kind of just looks like I had some child's pants in my room.
Oh, we'll put the picture in the show notes.
Do you have a picture?
Yeah, I've got you in the Lion King underwear, yeah.
We don't have them anymore because I tried them on.
Yeah, and they ripped, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you clearly don't fit six-year-old underwear anymore.
I'm okay with that. I can live with that.
Oh, dear. Yeah, well,
this is all going to get used against me in some court someday.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. When we get a divorce and I need some leverage to take the CDs, then totally, totally. Yeah, but anyway, we digress. But anyway, welcome everyone to this week's episode of BAMPOTS. I spoke to someone recently about that title. Who was it? That was it. I was in Starbucks and I was talking to someone about the podcast. One of the baristas there, and she was like, oh, what's it called? And I was like, so I said to her, oh, it's called BAMPOTS. And the guy next to me in the queue was like, oh, BAMPOTS. And I was like, yeah, BAMPOTS. And he was like, oh, I've not heard that word in ages. And I was like, oh, okay. I didn't know whether that was him saying like that's a really old word, a bit like glaikit or something like that no one uses anymore. But I'm pretty sure people
is a good word.
Glaikit is, but no one uses it. Like it's like one of those words that just it just glaikited, it died. So yeah, anyway, it was interesting. So
So maybe this wasn't a smart name for a podcast? Maybe that's why it was so unique and it was available.
It's a bit like maybe calling your kid Barry or something like that. Like, you know.
Is it?
Well, because it's a maybe not Barry, but like, or Guinevere or something like that, where it's a bit like, it's such an old name. No offense to any Guinevere's out there, but it's a very lovely name, but it is an old name.
Did she find it?
Did she find it?
Yeah.
Well, the podcast?
Yeah.
I assume so, yeah. She wrote the name down. So, you know, I assume she's listening.
Jinx is right now listening to an episode wondering why there's three people in the artwork.
Probably, yes. Yeah, unless she's listened to the episode where we describe the artwork, in which case we're okay.
Great.
But we haven't had Ral make an appearance yet, so anyway.
Maybe one day.
Yeah. Hi, Kate, if you're listening.
And he's here right now.
Yeah, Ral. Rot.
Oh, sorry. How great would that be if we had been chatting for 25 minutes and I didn't tell you that Rot was also here?
That, like you did last time when you surprised me for my birthday.
Yeah, that was pretty good fun. I got to spend like the entire day with like him and Dave and stuff, and then stage our entrance.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome to this week's episode. This week, we're going to talk about our vegan challenge, aren't we?
Yes. So we set ourselves a challenge to see whether or not, or to see how easy it would be for us for a given work week, so like a Monday to Friday, to live like a vegan lifestyle. And for various reasons, like one, I've been thinking about eating less meat for a while. A lot of these meat substitute companies have been going public, and they are getting a lot of press and a lot of attention, and they're doing a lot of podcasts and stuff and talking to people saying, like, promoting this vegan lifestyle. And I thought it'd be interesting because, like, I know that you don't agree with that, that just to see, like, how easy is it and how difficult and challenging would it be to swap from one lifestyle to another or one diet to another overnight with zero preparation.
Yeah. When we first thought about this challenge, I think it was a bit like, oh my God. Like, so I've always had this kind of view of vegetarianism, I think, is different because it's not, I don't see it as much of a, as much of a movement as veganism. And it's a bit like there was this kind of, I don't know, kind of, what's it called? When you think about something before you actually do it. What's that word? Assumption. Let's say assumption. I don't think that is the right word I'm thinking of. But anyway, we'll say assumption. That I had of like that veganism is just like one of those things that everyone's like, oh my God, you're the vegan in the room. Oh my God. You know, you order something vegan. It's like, oh, you know, stop trying to be better than me by, you know, promoting your, you know, ethical views and all this kind of shite. But actually, it's, you know, different.
So you're talking about like the social stigma of veganism.
Yeah. Right. So the perception of the word veganism and like what people think about people who say that they're vegan. You know, if you walked into a room, you know, with you know 20 people, and two of them said, "Oh, we're vegan," you know, and we hadn't tried the vegan challenge at all or anything with it. You know, what would your kind of initial judgment be? You know,
I think that's entirely different from what we were trying to do this time, because the social thing around veganism is, I feel, completely removed from the, like what you were saying about, oh, don't shove your ethical superiority in my face. It's not really what I was going for with this at all. It was just like, can you do it, right? Rather than, can you decide to promote these views for a week? We'll maybe split this into two parts, right? So we can get into like the whole pros and cons and the actual ethics around about veganism.
Yeah.
Because I'm not vegan, and again, we did it for 5 days, and I immediately broke at midnight on the Friday. But I got a lot of stick from a lot of friends who said that we didn't actually do it for a week, we did it for Monday to Friday.
But I think there was a reason that we did that. It wasn't just a kind of, we can't be bothered to do it for the weekend.
It's more that, like, the reason I wanted to do it for a week is that it most interrupts your life in a work week, right?
Yeah.
For us, I thought it'd be easier or more interesting to see, live a normal work week and see what happens. Because a weekend, you could say, I chose to go out and buy some fruit and do whatever. But
yeah.
And that's less interesting to me, I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree. Yeah. And I should just point out, right, that I don't actually have any problem with people being vegan or the actual concept.
I mean, you obviously do.
No, I don't. I actually honestly don't. Even before this challenge, I don't have and it's like the same with people who are vegetarian or any kind of view, right? I don't have any kind of a problem with that. And I would never like...
Didn't Steve Jobs say he was a fruitarian for a while?
Well, someone who just eats fruit.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, that kind of thing's a bit like...
But he's a bit of a hippie, so it's not completely dismissive of people who also have that diet. But I remember trying that for like 5 days after he died, and it nearly killed me.
Yeah, but you see, that's the thing. It's like
also
that,
it completely ruined my digestive system.
But that, yeah, that kind of, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, pray for the toilet. But like that kind of thing is just like, you know, that's silly because it's not even. There's probably not really any kind of scientific backing that could show that you could actually live off that for a sustained period of time. Like I don't think there's enough in fruit in itself to be able to have a healthy lifestyle. Whereas you can have a healthy lifestyle with veganism. It's just challenging. There's always, and which we'll talk about. But there's like,
would you want to get into it then?
Yeah, sure. Let's go. Yeah. Yeah. Well, how do you want to do it? Do you want to go through like each day as we kind of found it, or just like the different challenges that we found and just segue into them?
We should set out the rules, right? The rules we set for ourselves at the beginning.
Oh yeah, okay, go on.
So we had like a chat the day before we started to discuss what it was we were going to do, the constraints around it that we were going to live by. Yeah, so we should go through them. So our primary rules were you can't restart. So you just, if you slip up, if you eat something and then find out that it was going to, that it actually wasn't suitable for a vegan diet, then you were just to note it down and keep going. Because otherwise it would be like a New Year's resolution where you get to January 4th, screw up, and then go, oh, well, I'll try again next year. And we would never get this done if that happened. So no restarts. If you slip up, note it down, carry on. Keep a journal of your thoughts as the week goes on. And you must try at least some meat substitute products. So you can't just decide to live on bread and pasta for a week. You have to at least attempt to like take what you were on before and find some way of like replacing those meals without just, because I think that just deciding to eat pasta is a bit of a cop out, and it's not actually what we were trying to do, because it's not, the reason for that is that it's not sustainable. So if you were to do this for a year, you're not going to eat pasta and bread for a year.
It's not balanced enough. So
no, right. So with that in mind, were there any other rules? Were there any other things that you thought of?
No, I think that's them, isn't it?
Yeah. So do you want to do it day by day, or do you want to just do your week and then my week? I think we should do your week and then my week.
You think? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So my week first or your week first?
Your week.
My week. Okay.
Drum roll.
Okay, so I failed after the first, like, hour.
Which is why we had rule number one.
Yes, yeah.
I even said to you beforehand, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but we were on the phone the day before, and I said, I think you're immediately going to wake up and order a latte. And I spoke to people and said, I think he's going to immediately wake up and order a latte from somewhere and immediately forget.
Yeah, so I did. That's exactly what I did. I woke up and I went into, where would it be? Well, it was the, some place in Kelvin Grove. Oh, the brunch club, that's it. Oh yeah, that was it. Yeah, so I was helping my girlfriend and her flatmates, well, mainly my girlfriend, move out of her flat. And I went to the brunch club to get them all a coffee while they were cleaning up the flat. And just instinctively, I was trying to remember their orders, which weren't very complicated. So there was like a double espresso, a caramel latte. And then funnily enough, one of them is vegan. So one of them ordered a latte with soy milk. And then I ordered just a normal latte because I was like, that's why I order just a latte. When in fact, it's weird that actually, even though that there was I was ordering a vegan based latte anyway, or a non-milk based latte anyway, that I should have just thought and gone, hold on a minute.
Two of those, please.
Yeah, two of those. Yeah, not one. But I didn't. And I was like, I was walking back and then I put them down on the table and I was like, oh shit. Oh no, I failed already. I hadn't actually taken a sip, to be fair. So I hadn't failed in the sense that I'd not drunk it. However, I kind of thought...
Did you go and ask? Did you say, sorry, I meant to say two soya lattes, can I have this one soya also?
No, so when I got back, so I drank it, okay, because I was like, I don't want to...
No shame here.
I don't want to waste it, yeah. First rule to admitting is, well, no, first, anyway, you know what I mean. I didn't want to waste the latte because I thought you know, I could bin it, but like for the sake of like, you know, the challenge and like, you know, £2.50 or whatever, I was like, well, I'll just drink it and then that'll be it. I'll be fine. So yeah, I failed within the first hour.
It was inevitable.
But things got better. Things got better. They improved. I failed again.
That day?
I think I did, actually, yes.
Did you eat anything appropriate for the challenge?
Yeah, so my breakfast was fine. I had porridge for breakfast, right, which was fine.
You didn't put milk in it?
No, I didn't have milk with it. I had it with water. But I remembered about the porridge. I remembered about the porridge. And I've actually noted down the time, like, so the first fail of the week was at 13:18, so 18 minutes past one.
Did you not have any coffee when you woke up in the morning?
No, I didn't, no. I don't tend to drink coffee when I wake up at home. I just kind of get up and go into work and then normally don't really buy anything until I'm actually, like, you know, kind of in the middle of the day. But what I'd done is I'd gone into work, worked for a wee bit, and then gone to help my girlfriend and everything, and then, yeah, and then just forgot. So, but it shows you kind of like the whole mentality of like, you know, trying to get out of that mentality of like, if you're in the supermarket, it's different because you've got time to kind of think and, you know.
You were in a queue. You had time to think about it.
Well, I did, but I didn't.
And it was day one. It was the first thing you ordered.
Yeah,
and
you
literally had to order one as well.
Yeah, I know. But like at the same time.
No, it's not like a, it's just a, doesn't matter. I'm not gonna kill on you about it. It's just, I knew you were going to do it. I knew it was going to happen. It was just hilarious. How right I was.
Yeah. Yeah, you were totally right. I don't know why I did, like, yeah, I just kind of, yeah, I lapsed in judgment, as I do quite a lot, actually. Yes. Anyway, I failed.
So 2 o'clock.
Yeah, it was 2 o'clock. I'd failed. So I went to the gym. So this was something I found quite difficult, actually, on a number of days. So after the gym, normally what I'd have is either like a protein shake, or if I didn't make the shake, I'd have like a protein bar or something, and then I'd have like some pasta and things like that. Normally what I'd do is I'd go and buy something because it would just be my lunch as well. But I couldn't have my protein shake because it has whey, which has milk in it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get like any pasta dishes from M&S or Tesco because they're all made with egg. So there was only like, out of all the salads in M&S, like the wee lunch salads, I could only take two. One was a super green salad thing with apple and broccoli and spinach and all sorts of things, which were actually quite nice.
That sounds quite good.
And the other one was, what was it? I can't remember. I think it was a couscous or something like that. Like, I couldn't even take a Greek salad because it has feta in it. Like, I was like, yeah, you know. So I struggled after the gym. That was my biggest, probably one of my biggest struggles, actually. It was just like a quick source of food, like, you know, give me a bit of food right now, because the options are really limited when you're eating, like, you know, you're trying to buy something out and trying to eat it. Like, there just wasn't the kind of the quantity. Vegetarian would be, like, that would have been.
Yes, cheese is difficult.
Yeah,
right?
cheese and egg.
And mayonnaise and options as well is quite hard too.
Yeah, like, so for me, absolutely, yeah. For me, it was like the things that were like, it, you know, not so much the meat-based stuff, but it was the things that were made with. So yeah, like the cheese and the milk and the eggs and all sorts of things like that. Speaking of eggs, one of the things I found really challenging was not to be able to just get like a cake from Starbucks or from some coffee shop. I couldn't just get, like, the Starbucks, I think, has maybe two vegan options. Which, to be fair, are actually, I've only tried one of them, which was the, what's that nut that begins with P? Pistachio, that's it. It was like a pistachio cake or something, which was actually really nice. But you can't, like, you just can't, like, just go and buy anything. Like, I can't have a muffin, you know. Anyway, it got better, right? That day, right? Lunch.
Are we still on Monday?
We're still on Monday. Don't worry, I'll fling through it really quickly. There was a lot that happened on Monday.
My journal, like, it's like two pages for Monday and then half a page for Tuesday and then some wrap up for the week.
Yeah, that's kind of what mine is as well. So I had a really great vegan lunch. I went to a vegan restaurant in Glasgow called The 78, I think it's called. And it was really, really good. I went with my girlfriend and her sister, and their flatmate, who was the one that's vegan, and the food was really good. It was a pasta dish, but it was like, it had a lot of different veggies in it. It wasn't just a kind of, you know, it wasn't just like plain pasta with tomato. It made up for a lot of the stuff that it didn't have in terms of meat. So shout out to those three for that, because that was a really, really good idea. Well, that's kind of Monday in a nutshell.
How did you feel?
Yeah, okay, actually. I didn't really feel any different. Like, it was just...
No deep regret over your latte in the morning?
No, not really, no. I think, well...
Let's go on to Tuesday and we can go on.
Yeah, let's go on to Tuesday, otherwise we'll never get to the beach. So, for lunch on Tuesday, right... Oh, I should point out that for breakfast on all of these days, I had porridge, because it's just what I have. So I didn't really experiment too much with breakfast. But I tend not to experiment with breakfast anyway, so I don't feel like going vegan would be a fair test for me to then suddenly become really adventurous with breakfast. So, but for lunch on Tuesday, I had the Subway garlic aioli falafel wrap thing. Now, when they, you know, when you go into Subway and they've got the wee pockets of food and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when they brought the falafel thing out, it looked like a dirty carpet. Like, I'm not kidding you, it looked minging. Looked like a munter.
Was it like a patty?
Yeah, it was like a patty. Yeah. But it was like, it was just looked horrible. It just looked really nasty. And
falafel doesn't look great. Like, it tastes incredible, which is how you forgive its overall appearance, which is like mushed.
Yeah.
Just like mushed, like, form. It's just like a weird substance.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. It was like... I'm trying to actually really remember like what exactly it looked like, but it just didn't look appetizing at all. Like, if you'd said you want this on your wrap, then I would have been like, no, fuck off.
No, get away from me.
Yeah, get that away. The wrap was actually quite nice. It actually didn't taste of shit, or dirty carpet or munter, but it was really heavily garlicky. So I feel like that was masking up for some kind of other taste that I would have had if they hadn't put garlic in it. Like, it was like over the top garlic. You know, when you get like, you know, the garlic dip with pizzas that you get, it was like that, but like smothered.
Yeah. Like the stuff that you dip your Domino's crust in or something, and you suddenly can taste nothing but garlic dip.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it was full of it, which was a bit of a shame, actually. But, you know, funnily enough, though, the biggest thing about lunch, not so much the taste, but it was actually when I was ordering it, I actually felt really self-conscious ordering. So there was quite a big queue at the time because it was lunchtime. And it was the first time I'd ever ordered something vegan, like over a counter. That was like a non-specific vegan place. So obviously I'd been to vegan restaurants before, but they were like exclusively vegan. Like, they didn't sell any meat or anything that wasn't vegan.
And you went to a coffee shop on the Monday and ordered a soy latte.
Yes, that's true, but that doesn't necessarily say that I'm vegan. I could be lactose intolerant.
Neither does this. You could just be asking for it.
I could, yes, I could, but my point isn't so much that it's, you know, like the coffee, I could be lactose intolerant, or I could just prefer soy milk or something. I could prefer this, but the difference is that the title of this food was called a vegan garlic wrap, right? So that was its name. And I feel like calling it vegan doesn't help with the whole, you know, particularly if you're starting to become vegan, you're going to be a little bit, you know, well, I mean, you might not be. You might be like, oh, fuck it, I'm fine. But, you know, I was certainly a little bit self-conscious about ordering this vegan thing because of, you know, maybe some stereotypes that I have in my head that I shouldn't have.
Just because of your internalized stigma towards veganism.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one that thinks like that. So it made me think, oh, this is a bit weird. I don't know.
Okay.
Like, for example, if they just had a big V next to it that said next to it vegan, but it was just called garlic falafel and garlic aioli wrap, then that's fine. You know, that's what it is. So, you know, so why do you have to call it a vegan wrap? Why can't it just be called what it is? And this was
like the vegan sausage roll at Greg's.
Yeah, I guess, but that's a marketing thing though, mainly for Greg's. Whereas like, this isn't really like, Okay, maybe it is a bit marketing. I don't know, but it's the vegan food at Subway doesn't have the same, kind of media presence as the vegan sausage roll at Greg's. Like that was a huge kind of like.
I think that's because like in the UK, the Greg's sausage roll is such a cultural thing.
Yeah.
Whereas like an American Subway sandwich is not really ingrained in UK culture.
Yeah.
Like there just happens to be Subways all over the place, but I think that. It might just be like they have to, like it's not that they have to, but a choice to call something to outline that you have a vegan offering like opens up your customer base a bit, which I think is important because you could just put like the little VE next to it, but when you're advertising that product, you're trying to get people who would currently not come through the door to your establishment because you sell processed turkey with or the meatball sub, like they're famous for the meatball sub, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're like covered in cheese, which isn't like the opposite of what somebody who's looking for that kind of food is looking for. So yeah, you need to market it. So if you call it what it is on the you call it like a straight up, we now have a vegan offering because it's this, rather than just saying we have a new falafel wrap and in the corner it's got like a VE next to it to show you can eat it. They can eat it.
Yeah. That's
probably why they did it.
Yeah, I get that point, and I think it's, it's totally fair. I just kind of think that it's,
it made you uncomfortable. Anyway.
Maybe one day they won't. Yeah, it made me feel uncomfortable. Definitely. Once I'd ordered it was fine. I didn't care. And actually, after that one time I'd ordered it, I was like, okay, I don't actually mind. Like, I could go and order something else now. Like, it's like kind of taking a bit of a leap. And then once you've done
it's
it
just
once,
like your first jump into doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
cool. Awesome.
But anyway, that was an interesting experience. Then that evening, I tried the Linda McCartney vegan sausages.
What type did you get?
It was just the normal sausages. The normal. I had the. So they were just the plain sausages, and then I had the garlic and rosemary herb ones as well later on in the week.
They're very good.
They're both actually really good. Actually, the Linda McCartney, just the normal ones, were really tasty. I put them in like a kind of tomato casserole thing, and had very, very vegan friendly red wine with it as well. like that took a lot of googling while I was stood in the aisles of Tesco trying to figure out what wine was vegan and what wasn't. Yeah, but it was I figured it out in the end, because a lot of wine is made with like, is it pig's bladders or something like that, or
fish bladder and milk for a fining agent
and milk. Yeah. So apparently this wine was fine. It didn't say it on the bottle actually. I had to Google it and try and search it, and apparently there was a company email that said all our red wine is vegan friendly, but our white wine isn't. So. Yeah, it would be maybe nice for them to say, it depends how much companies care about this, I guess, and how much money it costs to put it out. But, be interesting for them to kind of say on the bottle, yeah, vegan friendly or not. I think that was one of the
big
things.
It's interesting because like you didn't like the Subway thing in the title, and this doesn't have enough labeling. Like there is a fine line like where guessing is just not good enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
There was a lot of what I did that I just completely avoided because of uncertainty.
Hmm.
And yeah, because like we talk about white wine, like I just didn't drink all week because it was too difficult.
With the labeling though, like they could put like even a small thing on the back. Like I'm not saying call it vegan red wine, like that's a bit too far.
No, it's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that like that's two ends of the spectrum. It's just like planting it on the product name and then having a company blog that's public. Like it's just that's the two ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But anyway, no, that was all tasty and it was all really good actually. And I felt, it was weird, I felt fine buying the vegan sausages in the supermarket. I didn't feel self-conscious about that at all, whereas...
Didn't feel judged by the self-service machine that you used.
Yes, unexpected item in bagging area. so...
like an alarm would go off saying, this thing doesn't have meat in it.
Vegan alert. By Wednesday... I'd had so many coconut milk lattes. It was unbelievable. I was turning into a coconut. In fact, by the end of the week, I've actually now changed my order, my standard order. So now I either get oat milk or coconut milk, yeah, with lattes. Coconut milk's, I think, not meant to be great in high quantities just because it's got, I think it's quite a fatty milk. But whatever, you know, it's all right, I suppose, for a coffee a day. Anyway.
If you're putting whole milk in your coffee anyway, then it's not really much worse.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So coconut milk caramel lattes are incredible. Like, they are so good. Like, I'm so sad that I've only just discovered this combination, but like, I don't think I'll actually go back to normal milk and lattes after this week. Like, I don't think, have I had a normal milk latte? I don't think I have, actually, since that. I've had milk in, like, instant coffee and things like just normal milk, but I don't think I've had, like, order over the counter.
Is that because you felt so guilty about your latte slip up the first time? Like, yes, I just probably. I can't do it again.
Yeah, probably.
Like, it triggers you when you see someone getting an ordinary latte. Like, are you sure you're not being vegan for the week? Are you sure you're not remembering?
Exactly. Yeah. So, anyway.
Sorry, carry on.
No. So it was funny, actually, because on Wednesday I went to to Starbucks, and I ordered the barista. So the girl that we were talking about earlier knows my like my usual order, which is just a kind of, I think it's like a grande latte, which is pretty plain. And so she said, when I went in, she said, grande latte? And I went, actually, no. And I thought for a second, and I was like, okay, I'll order a grande caramel latte with coconut milk. And she was like, ooh, the plot thickens. Which I thought was quite funny.
Shush, how basic a person you are.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, it's just, yeah, like, that's what it takes to, like, make some interest in my life.
I know.
Bit of caramel and a bit of coconut milk. That was quite interesting.
Caramel's not vegan, is it?
Caramel?
Yeah.
I think the caramel is vegan. Maybe not. If so, then I've failed again. I did say to her I'm doing vegan week, and she didn't object to the caramel, but then she might
she's
not.
She's not an expert.
She's not an expert, no. She might not know. I mean, I didn't have caramel but the whole time. I had it twice, I think. So if I did, then I failed on the caramel, definitely. But the caramel actually in the coconut makes it really sweet, which is actually almost
too... Yeah, it's butter and cream and sugar is caramel.
Oh, well, there you go. So I failed then. Kate, why didn't you tell me? Not only Joan. So I failed on that one.
So I've Googled, real-time follow-up, caramel frappuccino with coconut milk. While caramel typically is not vegan, Starbucks version is free from animal products.
Yes!
But the caramel syrup they put on top isn't, so just ask without.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because they do that in frappuccinos. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so So for lattes,
but because you got a latte, you're okay.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Okay, cool, so I'm all right. Anyway, Thursday, I had the infamous Greg's vegan sausage roll for lunch.
Was Piers Morgan outside picketing the Greg's?
Yes, he was, yeah. And so was Tommy Robson. Was that his name?
Did you get two? One to throw at him and one to eat?
I got one to eat and one to shove up his ass. I got one for me to eat. And I liked it so much that I had it for lunch on Monday. I got two vegan sausage rolls and something that wasn't vegan because I wanted a cake. None of the cake stuff in Greg's is vegan. Like, I asked them over the counter, I said, is there anything else in Greg's that is vegan friendly? And apart from the sausage roll, and I think maybe one or two sandwich choices, and then, of course, like, the drinks and crisps, nothing is vegan friendly. So,
well, a lot of crisps aren't as well.
The crypto crisps I had are more fine, but I guess small steps. You know, they're not going to introduce a huge vegan menu right now, but hopefully they'll get there. They'll probably do some form of, if they could do some form of cake and like another pasty thing, then I think they'd be onto a winner. Because the vegan sausage roll actually is really tasty. Like, honestly, it tastes exactly the same. It's just less oily. So it's actually nicer.
What did they put in the pastry instead of butter or fat?
Actually,
as a fat?
That's a good question. Google it quickly now or follow up with it. But it didn't. It tasted just like the normal pastry. Like the pastry wasn't, and the sausage as well, it just tasted like sausage. You could tell like the texture wasn't sausage. It was a bit more kind of.
It's interesting
grainy.
That it's got corn in it. So it says a bespoke corn filling, because like most corn stuff has egg in it.
Oh, well, there you go. So they must be like some sort of vegan corn.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then for dinner that Thursday, I had some Vietnamese food, which was quite nice. I asked if the Coke was vegan, like normal Coke, and the waiter was funny about it and said that I was killing small animals and forests by eating it, by drinking it, which I wasn't. But he made a joke actually because my girlfriend got a Diet Coke. And he then came over to the table with our Cokes and he said, there you go, one animal-friendly Diet Coke for you and one small animal in a forest killing Coke for you. It's like, you're making me feel so much better about doing this.
Well, a lot of sugar isn't vegan.
I think Coke is vegan, isn't it?
No, but I was meaning like, so the sugar that's in a lot of foods,
right,
isn't, a lot of it's not. But we can get onto that later. I don't want to like completely derail you.
Yeah, derail you from a thing, yeah.
My biggest takeaway is that none of this is simple.
No, absolutely. Absolutely not.
Animal products are ingrained in everything that we consume.
Yeah, I won't go into detail on Friday because it was pretty much the same. Like, it was, lunch was, but I had like a salad for lunch or something. And then that evening, I was with family, but I managed to kind of stay clear of meat. I probably had a bit of butter or something, but I was away on the Isle of Arran with family, so I couldn't exactly be like, make me a vegan food or let me go and get some vegan food or something. So I had like salad and potatoes and things like that. But like overall, it was really, really challenging. And there were points where it was just like really difficult trying to find substitutes of something that you are so, you know, so used to having. And as you said, like, I completely agree, animal products are in everything that we're eating and drinking as well.
Yeah.
And trying to kind of, partly trying to find out what's in something is probably the biggest challenge. Like, if you know that this thing contains this animal product, then you can kind of, you know, then and this item doesn't, then you can pick and choose quite easily. But actually, a lot of things don't say, and you've got to either really read the ingredients, or even Google it, because sometimes
I know what they mean, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes they'll have an ingredient, but then you don't know what that ingredient, you know, might, like, for example, it might say caramel, but it might not go into the details specifically of how that caramel's made.
They should put allergens on, because if caramel has milk in it, they have to say for lactose intolerant people.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
So the difficult one is things like flavorings and colorings. So like you said, you can look at ingredients where you can say like a steak bake is not going to be for you, because like the first ingredient, or maybe not the first ingredient, but a ingredient is going to be beef. Mm-hmm. But like a can of Monster Ultra that's red is not vegan because of the food coloring in it.
Yeah.
And so I don't actually know how to pronounce this. So I'm going to completely ball this up. Cochineal extract. So it's cochineal. And I should have looked up how to pronounce that rather than just like attempt it. But anyway, there we are.
You got the cock bit right.
Thanks. So it's a species of insect, and they grind up the females and make red food coloring out of them, and that is how the food color. It's a lot of how red food coloring is made, and that's not obvious to me or to anybody. It's not labeled on the ingredients, and a lot of ingredients are just say natural flavorings. That can include a lot of animal products as well, which is like super, it's not super misleading, but it masks what's actually in it, which is quite difficult.
Yeah.
So you found it quite difficult?
Yeah. No, I found it, I did. I mean, there were bits that were easy. So cooking dinner, I found quite easy. Or, well, not easy, but I found it relatively straightforward if you planned a little bit in advance and went out and, you know, got something. I actually, it was a combination of in terms of eating out, it was a kind of, it was a draw, really, in terms of what was, you know, kind of very straightforward and easy and nicely done and everything, and what wasn't. So, but Ruth, my girlfriend, was saying that she like when her flatmate started being a vegan, she found it really challenging, and like would eat like chicken and things like that. It just because she found it really difficult to change and completely adapt into something as, you know, a completely different diet. And it's not even just a diet, it's a different, it is kind of different way of living as well. You know, so she's a vegan in the sense that she has to look at what soap she uses, and I don't know if she wears leather and things like that. Like when we did this challenge, I wore a leather belt every day, and I didn't really care about the soap.
And Tippexed fuck vegans on it.
Yes, exactly. In honey. And
so did you have honey at all?
I don't tend to eat honey anyway, so I didn't really.
Like honey's in things. So there's an Eat Natural bar that I have with a Tesco meal deal sometimes. That's the protein one, and it's the only non-vegan ingredient in that is honey.
Yeah.
I suppose honey's not used a lot in like mass-produced stuff because it's quite expensive. Mm. But the reason, like those Eat Natural bars are quite expensive anyway, so that's probably why they've got good higher quality ingredients in them.
Yeah, insects is kind of the one where I'm like, and I guess this is maybe for the second part of this topic.
Oh, absolutely, insects. I want to get back to.
Yeah, I think it's a difficult kind of argument to have, but I feel like we should move on to your week and see how you found with things.
Yeah, so we're like an hour in, we'll start talking about it.
Rather than going to that rant about insects.
I'll quickly fire through mine so people don't lose their will to live. whilst I said I prepared, I didn't prepare for Monday. So normally I do like meal prep on a Sunday and I'll cook my lunches and stuff. I didn't. I pre-prepared for not being prepared, if that makes sense. Like yeah. I bought a couple of microwave meals from a supermarket that I knew I could eat on, like there were like these vegan curry things that were actually incredible. But I got them knowing that I would forget to prepare something and wanted something easy so that I could quickly just grab something and not go, oh, but will I just have this instead? Like I could be like, no, I don't need to fall to temptation. I'll microwave something for 90 seconds and solve the problem. So coffee and stuff is not a problem for me because I don't put milk in anything really. So I drink black coffee, so that was never going to bother me. My main issue was with breakfast. So I'd never eaten porridge because I always thought it was just like a gross slurry of nonsense. And I have eggs for breakfast every single day. if I have breakfast, I have eggs. So I couldn't have eggs, which completely ruined my week. But so on the Monday, I had an apple because I was just like, I'm just going to forget about it. I'll just not eat anything and it'll be fine. So I had an apple at my desk and then I had that microwave curry thing. So a lot of the foods that I had on the packaging certified vegan. So they had, it was like this, it looks like a branding. You know those like certified logos. Mm-hmm. You have on foods.
Yeah,
it had it was all the same in all the food types on all the food products. So I just looked for that for these things, and that was really really good. And then I had a can of Monster, and then I started googling about Monster, and I don't have the red one; I have the white one. And apparently, depending on what country you buy it in, depends on what ingredients you use.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the American Monster is vegan. The one from Europe is not. And the one from the UK depends on where it was imported from. So I just did without because I was like, I don't know. I don't want to ruin this just in case. So I put it in the fridge and it stared at me for 4 or 5 days. but it's fine. It's probably not a bad thing for my health to not have energy drinks for a week.
Just have a bit of a break from it, yeah.
It's good for my mental health because I have people come up to me every 20 minutes saying, do you know they're really bad for you? and we have to reply, yeah, I know they're really bad for me. We had this conversation yesterday. Are we done? And they realize that I shouldn't be talking to people like that. I got quite peckish, so I've got on the Monday, so I bought some snacks. Like I pre-bought a bunch of snacks, and most of them were falafel, right? And then I immediately realized that falafel is really, really bad for you because it's just like deep fried chickpeas. So I had falafel. I had a couple of bites, shared it with everyone who was around me, and never had it again because it's quite, I didn't realize how bad it was for you. Yeah, so the money was kind of okay. I was just kind of like hungry, so I just ate fruit and stuff. But I bought, so I put this on Instagram. I'll maybe put it in the show notes as well. I went out and bought all of these substitute products. Like I bought, just because I wanted to try them, just because the guy did that, the owner of one of the companies, like Wonder Meat or something, had talked about these things. So I went, there's like a big meat-free section in Sainsbury's. So I just went there and got, not one of everything, but like I got some tofu, I got some Linda McCartney meatballs, I got a bunch of vegan mince, I got vegan steaks, vegan bacon bites.
And that's good.
So like to put into pasta and stuff, and some tofu and some other stuff. And just to like try stuff out to see like what would happen if I, because I know some of these companies are trying to reproduce things. So like they're reproducing a hamburger, or they want it to be red in the middle so it looks like what a hamburger looks like. The steak is the exact same. The steak had, so what I had on Monday was this vegan steak at the company, I can't remember, but it's also not an advert, so screw them. I had beetroot, right? So when you fry it, or when you grill it, it stays red in the middle, so it colors the same way that a steak does.
Okay, yeah, okay. That's interesting, actually. That's like, that's more of a psychological.
It's 100% psychological, because they want people to feel like they're having something they're familiar with, right?
Yeah.
But the problem is that some people like their steak well done.
Yeah.
And this thing is full of beetroot juice, so you can't really cook it out.
Hmm.
So it doesn't go well done. It just is red.
Yeah.
So it does medium well, it does medium rare, and that's kind of the level that you're going to eat, because it's not actually medium rare. It just happens to replicate that color because that's what they went for. So apparently they're working on how to fix that color difference as it cooks, because especially for burgers, because some people don't like medium burgers.
Absolutely.
Some people do.
Yeah, absolutely.
But some people are weird about fully cooking meats and things. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting, but it tasted really good. I put a bit too much seasoning on it, but my main thing with those meat things is they all taste slightly off. Not like out of date, but they just taste slightly artificial.
Yeah.
And the mince was okay because I hadn't prepped. I got this vegan chili recipe from a friend, which was actually really, really good, and that's what I had for my lunch Tuesday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was incredible, actually. I thought it was really, really good. But I put some of the vegan mince in it on top of like a bunch of beans and a bunch of other things, a bunch of vegetables. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I'm actually going to make in the future because I thought it was really, really good. But the mince in a chili is kind of okay, but in everything else, in a chili, it's just kind of filler, so it's just there for texture. But everything else I had, so I got Linda McCartney's vegan meatballs because you can throw it in an oven and it's...
Yeah,
and you can just have it in a sauce, and that was really, really good as well. But again, if it's not like covered in garlic like you had with your things, or like filled with other stuff, it tastes. I don't know. Maybe it's just the taste of soya, and maybe I just don't love the taste of soya, and that's what the problem is. But it just tasted a wee bit funny to me.
Yeah. No. I agree. Yeah,
and I used to have the same with corn, like where you could have one corn nugget or something and it'd be okay, but then if you had six, you'd start going like, oh, there's a wee bit of an aftertaste with this is a bit strange. And I kind of had that a lot with a lot of these things, so like I started just not having them by then. So I still have the tofu in my fridge, but
I don't like tofu.
And I'm also not entirely sure if soya is bad for you or good for you. I'll look it up for the next one when we talk about like the pros and cons of like what of this not movement, but this trend in general. But yeah, so I really leaned on pretty much all of my friends for support for this because I just didn't know how to do it, and I thought I was just gonna fail immediately, apart from you, because I tried to keep a separation from you so I could sort of, we could have a chat about it afterwards. I've got a friend, so I couldn't have eggs in the morning. So a friend of mine makes a lot of overnight oats.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like porridge oats that you soak overnight in apple juice with some shredded apple.
Mm.
And then you put pistachios, yogurt. Obviously, I couldn't have yogurt, so I went and bought some weird vegan yogurt, which actually tasted quite nice, and some frozen fruit.
Okay.
And I had that every morning from Tuesday through Friday. And it was really, really good as well. And I was quite nervous about it because, like, actually, I remember sitting down the first day and him staring at me for like 10 minutes as I was like humming and hawing about taking a spoonful of this. Which, if anyone has ever seen me try a new food product, that is exactly what happens. I look at it as if it's like some foreign body that I just shouldn't let anywhere near me. And I was like, I lifted the spoon, I put the spoon back down, I sort of put it near my nose, and I put it back. It was a process.
Did you sniff it?
I did sniff it. Yeah. I tried to lick it a little bit. It was cold and wet, and it was, yeah.
Quick sniff and pop it in, as we used to say in boarding school.
Anyway, it turns out that it was actually really nice. And it turns out I like porridge, which is a new thing that I learned, because I didn't know I liked porridge before now. And also, I absolutely love apple juice, and I'm now enjoying just having apple juice in the house. It's probably not good for the sugar levels in my body, but anyway.
Oh, well. Sacrifice.
Yeah. So I had the chili, which was like a mix between like three bean chili and the whatever type of mince I had. And I thought it was incredible. Wednesday was really hard. So you talked about red wine. I don't really I do drink red wine, actually. Maybe I should have just had red wine. But I primarily drink white wine. And I was at a drinks function thing on the Wednesday night, and they were serving free champagne. And I knew that. Because like, I couldn't exactly go up to the person and be like, excuse me, can I see the bottle? Like, it sort of
tell me the ingredients.
Yeah. And I didn't want to be the prick that's like, sorry, is this vegan?
Yeah.
And not that, I just didn't want to be that person. But,
I remember getting the text from you, like, being like, I can't have any of this champagne, or you couldn't have any of the food either, could you?
No, so the food they had, there was like this really cool, I don't know what it's called, like the little appetizer things, like someone walks around with a tray with...
Canapés.
Yeah, canapés. It was like little crab things and little cool little salmon stuff and the other ones. And the only one, there was one vegetarian one that was sweet potato and stuff and had pesto on it.
Mm-hmm.
And pesto has parmesan cheese in it, so I couldn't have that.
Oh.
It was the closest I got, but I then just left and went home because I was being a bit of a...
That sucks.
So, yeah. But like I said, so I leaned on friends quite a lot, and I did speak to people about this. And so that's why I was quite interested about when you said you went to Subway and you're quite nervous about asking. Like, I was just open and up front. And I remember, like, on the Friday, I was at something that there was, like, some... like a spread of snacks and stuff, like it was like a coffee break, and I said, oh, are any of these snacks vegan? And someone was like, oh, I'm really, really sorry, we didn't even think about it. And like, people were like genuinely like, oh, I'm sorry that we didn't think. And I found that I got absolutely no negative reactions. I got laughed at a lot by my friends for being dumb, for because one, we do a podcast, two, we do a podcast, yeah, and three, we think it's interesting to do this on our dumb podcast.
Yeah. But
so apart from that,
our poor dumb podcast. Oh, we've got a dream. Don't laugh.
I know, right? Fuck them. apart from getting grief for that, and everyone saying that I was like playing at being vegan, which is true. I did get a lot of help from people, which is pretty good.
Yeah, that's good. It always helps, I think, because you know, particularly with people that know, I was going to say what they're doing. I guess we knew what we were doing, but it's more like what are the shortcuts and what are the kind of quick ways to do something. And, you know, that recipes always help, because if it's a tried and tested recipe by someone who's vegan, chances are it's probably, you know, it's something that they'll eat or something that's at least okay.
And I did look up a bunch of that stuff, just like what are the best things to try? Because I was just like, well, if I'm going to do this, like I'm probably not going to do it again. So, well, maybe I will, but like I'm not going to get the opportunity again to just be like, well, let's jump in the deep end and try everything that I can.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I did. So I just I thought it was great.
Yeah.
So it was fun to try new things. It was fun to like really just try and explore new foods.
Yeah.
And I think like my big takeaway from it is like some of it I'm going to keep doing. I think I felt better as well. I got really, really tired Wednesday, Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, by the end of the night, I was exhausted because like my protein intake was about a third of what it was beforehand.
Yeah, I'd agree on
my
that.
My diet normally is just like, I eat a lot of chicken breasts, I eat a lot of eggs. I generally have quite protein heavy foods. And that was the biggest challenge, was that it completely, like, it did knock my body off a bit because of those differences.
Yeah.
And I did have to adjust a bit. And having a bottle of wine that was open and had milk listed on the allergens in the back really, really upset me. But it's not here anymore, and I have drank it, so it's all good.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's kind of my week. I sort of like rushed through that, but
no, that's good. Was there anything from your last 2 days that particularly stood out? So you kind of got to Wednesday with the champagne and everything, but was there anything Thursday and Friday that you were like?
So Thursday was just normal. Thursday was like the rest of them. I'd continue to have the oats. I had the chili for dinner, for lunch.
Yeah,
and yeah, it was fine.
Okay.
So the same place that I got the where they apologized for not having the snacks, I had falafel wraps that were listed as vegan, and yeah, it was okay. I sort of got into the groove. So the reason that my notes sort of fall off a cliff as you get through the week is like I kind of just became part of my day. And apart from the fact that I spoke to everyone about it, and I did become that person that said, I think I said to every single person that I saw, and I became the stereotype of that joke that is, how do you know when you're in a room with two vegan people? It's like, because they'll tell you about it. Like, I was that person. Like,
quite like that. I mean, it's not fair, but it's true.
Right? So I did become that person, but just because it was different. Like, so if I had done like, oh yeah, I'm doing nothing but eating fish every day or for every meal, like I probably would have told people about that as well. Like, it's not to do with that. And I also think it's fair to say, to bring it up a lot, well, not to bring it up a lot, but like for it to be a focus of attention, especially around food, because food is such a huge part of culture that it has a massive, massive impact on what you can and can't
do,
where you can and can't go. Like you said, you went to these restaurants. Like, I would struggle to go to a restaurant near me because, like if you ever go to a French restaurant, they say you normally eat like a stick and a half of butter by the time you leave, and you just don't know what people are cooking for you. So, like, I was like, I tried to take complete control over everything that I put in my body, just to counter any variance there, but.
Yeah,
I thought it was really, really fun. Did you enjoy it overall?
I did. I think I enjoyed the experience more than anything. I enjoyed trying new things, new different kind of food recipes and things like that. Although I guess some of them were the same kind of recipe. So, like, you know, a sausage casserole, for example, was the same kind of recipe. It was just with Linda McCartney sausages. I really enjoyed trying different coffees, different milks. I think that's one that I really did enjoy, because one of the things I do get is that if I drink lots of milky coffee throughout the day, the milk really makes me feel quite stodgy. So whereas having like the soy milk or the coconut milk or the oat milk, which oat milk is amazing, by the way, if you've not tried it, go and try it. Like, you don't taste it really. It doesn't taste like anything, but it makes it so smooth.
Why is that amazing then?
It makes the coffee so smooth. Like, it's just I don't know how it does it, but it's just so, like, the milk, oat milk, is just really, really smooth. You really notice the difference.
I have a friend who did Veganuary, so he did veganism for January, and he went through a journey of trying every milk because he thought the soya milk was gross in coffee and tea, and didn't really enjoy almond milk. I don't think he ever tried coconut milk, but the saturated fat in coconut is something else to talk about, because I know a lot of people who do health things say to use coconut oil instead of olive oil.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And it's like, it's the polar opposite of olive oil, because olive oil is like all monounsaturated fats, and coconut oil is just chock full of saturated fats.
Yep.
But I think it's to do with like where what causes those saturated fats or like where they come from, something else. But I'm not an expert. I just Googled it once and can vaguely remember reading an article about it. But I don't know if he tried coconut milk, but he was the same as you. He had oat milk and absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
And that's what he ended up settling on.
Yeah.
But and that's from everyone else that I've spoken to, they concur that oat milk is the best substitute.
You know, it is. It's really good. It is really, really good.
And from like me as a person, like I want to eat less dairy. I don't eat red meat at all. Apart from like if I'm with family and stuff and someone cooks a lasagna, I'm not going to say, sorry, I'll have this something else. Can you prepare me something else when I've come to your home? I just eat what I'm given.
Yeah.
But similar to like when you were on Aaron with your family. I never choose to. And I'm trying to cut out dairy as well because like we can talk about cattle at some point in another episode on the environment if we'd ever talk about the environment. But I enjoyed not being able to eat any dairy just to be like, what would it look like if instead of coating everything with cheese, I didn't? And it was fine.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a good thing to be able to try.
Milk
in foods is a real kick in the balls for this. Like there was milk in so many things that I struggled with.
Yeah.
But you know, it was similar to you with cakes because like cakes have got egg and butter in them. But yeah.
Yeah.
Would you do it again?
I think I would. Yeah, but I think I would. So, I mean, I think there aren't going to be things that I'm going to take away and do more often, particularly the milk and coffees. I think I'm almost turned with that. But that's more to do with taste and preference rather than actual, because of the ethical reasons to do with milk and cattle and things like that. You know, I will still eat things like cheese and have milk and other things, but coffee, I think, is that. But I guess that's part of the battle, you know. If you can make things taste nice, you know, even if you have a kind of a conscious idea of what the ethical reasons are, you know. So I think, you know, both of us know the reasons for why, you know, stopping eating meat and the reason for cutting back is good. But if they can counter that by...
Which we're not going to get into this because it's a huge...
No, we're not going to get into it now. No, absolutely not. No, but what I'm saying is if they can, like, from our preferences this week and from tasting things this week, if they can make the taste as good, you know, then I think then it's on to it. It's a winning combination.
Yeah, and that's what the guy who... That CEO who did that podcast, that I will find a link to rather than just alluding to this random human being who talked to somebody else into a microphone, similar to what we're doing, but they actually have some merit behind their life. And so he had the same point. Like, if you're going to break into that market, you need to make it taste as good or better and cost the same or less. And I think that as it stands today, it doesn't taste as good or better. A steak does taste better than a vegan steak. It's just a thing that is true.
Yeah.
A hamburger tastes better. A chicken breast tastes better than corn chicken, what's it? And it doesn't cost less either. It's super expensive at the moment. But I think that if you had 100 years of industrial agriculture behind you, you would, and a bunch of government subsidies, you would also be able to get your vegan mince down to the same price as 500 grams of beef mince. I think that's a hard challenge they have to fight with. So, and the same, like mentally, like you talked about how psychologically choosing to ask for vegan stuff was quite difficult. And I think that at the moment in a supermarket, so specifically the supermarket that I use, they're physically separated from each other. So there's an aisle that has like a bunch of beef and lamb and venison and whatever on one side, a bunch of poultry on the other side, fish.
Yeah.
And then in a separate aisle where they sell like chickpeas and not chickpeas, where they sell like hummus and stuff like that next to that and soups, there's like a health section. And inside that there is a vegan section and a free from section. And that physical separation from like where you've got beef burgers, chicken burgers, turkey burgers, and then leave that section entirely and go find another alternative
is
I think there's a big mental separation there, which I think is makes it harder than it needs to be to make that decision, because it's not weighed up in the same way. Like, you can't see them next to each other. And I think that if you did, the prices would have to vary as well, because like the reason that you can look at the minces next to each other and say, well, 500 grams of beef mince and 500 grams of turkey mince are vastly different prices, so they actually sit them opposite each other. So, but if you put all the burgers next to each other, they would have, the prices would have to weigh out a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that just from market, like, the market is going to solve this problem. I think that so I think that right now it's very, very hard to do. But I think that like there's more and more options. Like, I think 5 years ago, if we'd done this,
yeah,
it would be almost impossible. Not almost impossible, but I think it would be really limiting.
Yeah, it'd be much harder.
Yeah, and I think that 5 years from now, I think a lot of those problems will be solved. And there's nothing that we can do about that. There's nothing that like consumers just need to choose what they want.
Right? Yeah,
and I think that 5 years from now, that it might, I think it'll be a lot easier again. And like, so my biggest takeaway is that like, I think that it's difficult to make that choice. It is more expensive. Like, I spent maybe 50% more than I would have in a normal week on food.
Yeah.
Which is not affordable for a lot of people.
Yeah. I think I was probably the same. You know, the sausages were, it was £2 for a pack of six, which is more money than standard sausages. Cause you get like, I think it's like one, you can get them for like 180 for like eight sausages or something, which is quite cheap, or maybe a bit more, maybe it's like £2 or something, but it's still like you get two more sausages. So I think actually the sausages is the thing that I would probably have, you know, I think I actually really enjoyed the sausages and the Greg's vegan sausage roll. Like, I think it's the, you know, the eating out was quite expensive for me, more so maybe than, you know, because the Greg's vegan sausage roll is the same kind of price. It's not going to break the bank. But it's the, you know, I do agree, like, this, because you've got to substitute things. You know, you buy a can of beans and all this veg, and okay, individually they're not bad, but then you add it all up and combine it, and it becomes quite an expensive meal.
Yeah. Well, what did you think about the packaging for all those things? Like, I had the sausages, the meatballs, and the steaks and stuff, and I thought there was more plastic on my food than there typically was for anything else.
You mean just the packaging?
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't.
When I came home, so I'll put the picture of my, like, the table of all the stuff on, but I thought there was a huge amount of packaging for all the foods that I had. Like, everything was like wrapped and then double wrapped and vacuum sealed and all these sorts of things, where I didn't feel it was entirely necessary. It was just something that I really thought of. Like, if you are doing this for environmental reasons, then
yeah,
you need to think about the carbon footprint of your food as well. And just because it didn't come from the rib of a cow doesn't mean that it has a clean story to tell from an environment.
Absolutely. It goes both ways.
And if we're gonna, like, we'll do this in part two, so, because, like, apologies, this one's gonna go quite long, and we should, like, do final thoughts shortly. We can talk a bit about, I'll research some of the footprint of these foods, but I just thought that, like, something that I noted, and I did put in my notes, but I didn't read it out earlier because I was rushing through them. I'm gonna try to do this 2 days a week in the future, and try just as a health thing, and just because I quite enjoyed it, and as a way to try and start eating, be less dependent on meat as a food source. But
Ruth's my girlfriend is vegetarian, so she's featured quite a lot in this episode. Maybe she should get a credit.
I've actually messaged somebody during this recording saying, what did I say? I mentioned that we're going to split this over two. And then he said, is Marco chatting about his lattes? And I went, yeah, I've told him Carl Mills isn't vegan. And he's mentioned his girlfriend about 12 times.
No, not 12. Come on. It's about four or something. But yeah, okay, fair enough.
I'm going to do a ding. I might add a bell that does a counter like a YouTube video.
Well, my point was, is that she, because she's vegetarian, we cook together maybe well, when we see each other sometimes, so like maybe once a week or something like that, we'll cook together. And we'll make something that's vegetarian friendly, okay, not vegan, but won't have meat in it.
You say it was just disdain.
What? Not vegan.
Not vegan.
Well, okay, as in, like, we're not going that far.
Sorry to interrupt you. I remember the flat that you stayed in before we lived together? Like, the one that where you slept on my sofa for a couple of weeks?
Yeah.
The one where I hosted the Halloween party where nobody came.
No one came.
The girlfriend of my flatmate from that flat was vegan, and they used to go out to Italian restaurants all the time, and she'd be like, oh, just get pasta. And I don't know why, it was maybe because I just didn't really like her, but I've never been so satisfied as to tell somebody that pasta's not vegan in my life. Well, dry pasta is, but
yeah, not
fresh pasta's not.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know why, but the look on her face when she realized that for the last 5 years she'd actually been eating. She was the sort of person who would order Papa John's pizza without cheese on it, cover it in vegan cheese and put it in the oven when it arrived. Put it back in the oven, and I don't know why I find it so satisfying to tell her, because I'm sit opposite you on the opinion of like the stigma, because I think that there shouldn't be a stigma and all these other things, but I find, maybe just because I didn't like her, but I find it so satisfying telling her.
maybe your self dislike for her was like
your general self dislike for all people who are vegan.
No, I don't not like. I like people that are vegan.
No, that was unfair.
I don't like. I mean, I think actually, to be quite honest, probably one big takeaway from this is actually how my admiration for people who are vegan and how difficult it is. Regardless of what your reasons are for being vegan or not, whether it's health based or moral based or whatever, it is a challenge. I think despite what vegans say, I think it is a challenge. I think quite a lot of vegans, I've talked to three, so not that many, but the ones I know anyway, say that it's quite easy. Or they say, oh no, you just do this. But I think it's harder actually when you're like, maybe the
first steps are hard.
Yeah,
right?
The transition period is definitely much harder. It is harder, I think. And I think...
And I find that too, which is why I said that my diary becomes less interesting as the week goes on, because it's less of a discovery and it's more just getting on with it. So Thursday was the most uneventful day in my life because I just did my normal routine and I just didn't eat. I just had the diet that I'd been doing all week, and it become a process. And
yeah.
So yeah, I agree. Like, I think that's probably the best takeaway. In general, is that it is difficult. I think it's easier than it was 5 years ago, and mm-hmm. I think it will be easier in the future. But yeah. To say that it is, to glibly just go, no, it's not a big deal, is, I think, is wildly inaccurate.
Yeah, and, yeah, that's fair.
But I learned a lot from it. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, no, same. Cool.
Should we wrap it up?
Should we wrap about vegans?
I need to pee, so we should keep this short.
Okay, all right. Well, let's wrap up then. So,
Ilya, let us know your thoughts. Like, if you've done this, or you're interested by this, or you want to talk to us about it, or whatever, then I'm happy to give tips, share my recipes, or whatever. Yeah, just let us know. So we are at Twitter. We're at BAMPOTS Podcast.
Yep.
Sorry, do you want to say the rest?
Sorry, I was wondering.
I was waiting for you to jump in.
I was wondering what the pause was. Yeah, at BAMPOTS Podcast on Twitter. We're www.bampotspodcast.com.
We've got a contact form. You can just let us know. Like, if you think this is the worst thing ever, there's a free text field. Go nuts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go nuts. Because my spam folder loves all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Do it to us on Twitter. And, and yeah, just let us know what you think. And let us know where, if you think we went wrong somewhere, or if you think that we did something that wasn't, not good, but like, were we missing a trick, basically? That's the thing. And
I want to know if someone was screaming at the podcast when you mentioned caramel until I went, yeah. Wait, what?
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, that'd be interesting, actually. It'd be funny if someone else actually thought that caramel, like a hardcore vegan, was like, thought caramel was vegan and then just found out from this podcast that it wasn't. A bit like your flatmate's girlfriend and the pasta. Right.
Cool.
Well,
but yeah, thanks very much.
No, thank you. Yeah, well, thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you, speak to you in
2 weeks.
3 weeks? 1 week? Can't count. Two weeks.
You should do is, also, if you do, as a final thing, if you don't want us to do the follow-up episode about the ethics and, not ethics, but the environmental impact and all this other challenge about veganism as a whole, let us know.
Yeah. Because then we can just not do it
if nobody wants to listen to it.
Yeah.
Even though I think it would be interesting, because just because you and I sit on different sides, I think it'll be a fun discussion.
I think it would, yeah. I mean, it's an episode on that, or it's an episode on your Lion King underwear, one of the two. With audio visual, I should say. Emphasis on the audio. Or visual?
Audio visual. That'll do it.
Oh dear.